Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Morning, brethren.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, Addie, for the scripture reading. Thank you for the children's story. Everything went well, perfectly. Before I begin this morning, I would like to... As I'm getting my things together here, I would like to have a word of prayer. If you would stand with me as I kneel, I would greatly appreciate that. Almighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Sabbath day, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name, Father. Lord, we just pray for your presence to rest upon us, Father. We ask for your Holy Spirit, Father, to speak to our hearts and minds this morning, Father. And we just ask and pray that you would abide with us, Father, and that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive, Father. And I just pray for the wisdom, Father, Lord. I'm confessing here, Lord, that I have no wisdom of my own. So, Father, I'm asking for yours this morning. And I just pray that it would be your words that they would hear, Father, and that there would be nothing left of myself. Father, please have thine own way. And I just ask everything in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a special day. In the world, New Year's Day. With each day that passes, we're brought closer to the last great day. One day closer to the judgment. Another year has been and gone, and we're one year nearer to eternity. One year nearer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we drawing near to God? Nearer to Christ? Are we watching unto prayer? Many people are in a state of reflection right now in their lives, maybe looking back on the past year. A lot of people are setting goals for the coming year. One might ask himself in the past year, did I do the will of the Father? Or am I doing the will of the Father? Parents might reflect on their lives from this last year and ask themselves, by my example, by the life that I lived, were my children drawn closer to Christ? Was I a reflection of Christ to them? Did I teach them in the way that they should go? Did I raise them up in the wisdom and the fear of the Lord? There's a lot of groups of people here. Students might look back on the last year, the late nights. You can only imagine. The sleepless nights, studies. But in the busyness of our lives, in the busyness of our jobs, in the busyness of our education, did we remember that thoughtful hour in contemplation of Christ, the life of Christ each day? Are we preparing to meet our God? We're one year closer, brethren. Are we pleading with Christ every day for purity of heart and mind? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus tells us, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. From the inspired pen, we read in Testimonies for the Church, volume 8, page 252. The coming of Christ is nearer than when we first believed. The great controversy is nearing its end. The judgments of God are in the land. They speak a solemn warning, saying, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Also from the inspired pen, get ready, get ready, get ready. Ye must have a greater preparation than ye now have, for the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Sacrifice all to God. Lay all upon His altar, self, property, and all, a living sacrifice. It will take all to enter glory. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where no thief can approach, nor rust corrupt. Ye must be partakers of Christ's sufferings here, if you would be partakers with Him in His glory hereafter. And finally, this one is from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5. It reads, "What are you doing, brethren, in the great work of preparation? Those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly mold and preparing for the mark of the beast. Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, these are receiving the heavenly mold and preparing for the seal of God on their foreheads. When the decree goes forth and the stamp is impressed, their character will remain purged and spotless for eternity." We're living in the Atonement Day, brethren. Purging of the character, cleansing. Some of us might ask the question, how do I even begin to prepare? Or ask the question, what are you doing, brethren, in the great work of preparation? I'm reminded of Acts chapter 2. We can go there. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Later on in 3:19, flip the page. He reiterates and he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." A repentance. What shall we do, brethren? Matthew chapter 3, verses 8. John the Baptist says, "Bring forth therefore fruit, meet for repentance." We read from the inspired pen, "No repentance is genuine that does not work reformation in the life." Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. And until we turn away from it in the heart, there will be no real change in the life. Repentance and reformation. Brethren, you know what our problem is? Is we don't have the ability to repent. We read in the Desire of Ages that repentance comes from Christ as truly as does pardon. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than can be pardoned without Christ. We read in Hebrews that Christ is the very author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end. It is only by the power of Christ that we can even be brought to repentance. Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him." We read also by the inspired pen, "Christ is the source of every right impulse, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end." He says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Through influences seen and unseen, our Savior is constantly at work to attract the minds of men from unsatisfying pleasures of sin to the infinite blessings of holiness. Where does the change begin? How does it start? We know that Christ is the author. Circumstances cannot work reforms. Christianity proposes a reformation in the heart. What Christ works within will be worked out under the dictation of a converted intellect. The plan with you is to begin at the very seat of all difficulties, the heart. And from out of the heart will the issue, the principles of righteousness, the reformation, will be outward as well as inward. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." From the inspired pen, it says, "It is by the renewing of the heart that the grace of God works to transform the life. No mere external change is sufficient to bring us into harmony with God. There are many who try to reform by correcting this bad habit or that bad habit, and they hope in this way to become Christians, but they are beginning in the wrong place. Our first work is the heart." David cries out, Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. We know it well. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This reformation that begins in the heart. If the very life of God is dwelling within you, a transformation takes place, starting with the heart, shaping the life. We are to be set apart from the world by how we look, what we eat, how we talk, how we act, how we walk. We are to be surrendered to Christ, that He shapes every aspect of our lives. Let us flip to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We know this verse well. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the will of God, even our sanctification. He's calling for a transformation in our lives, which only comes from Christ. From the Inspired Pen and Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4. "All that we urge is compliance with the injunctions of God's Word. Are we Bible readers and followers of Bible teachings? Will we obey God or conform to the customs of the world? Will we serve God or mammon? Can we expect to enjoy the peace of mind and the approval of God while walking directly contrary to the teachings of His Word? As we see the love of fashion and display among those who profess to believe present truth, we sadly ask, will the people of God learn nothing from the history of the past? There are few who understand their own hearts. The vain and trifling lovers of fashion may claim to be followers of Christ, but their dress and conversation show what occupies the mind and engages the affections. Their lives betray their friendship for the world, and it claims them as its own." And finally, "Let us not spare ourselves, but carry forward in earnest the work of reform that must be done in our lives. Let us crucify self. Unholy habits will clamor for mastery, but in the name and through the power of Jesus we may conquer. To him who daily seeks to keep his heart with all diligence, the promise is given. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen, brethren. It's a crucifixion of self. Repentance includes a sorrow for sin in your life. We also read the warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle, but the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. This brings us to our scripture reading today. He must increase, but I must decrease. Brethren, it is nothing that we can do of ourselves, but it is Christ within us that brings us into harmony with God. At this point in the year, many of us, as my mom was talking about, was we make resolutions for the new year. We make goals. We make resolutions and goals. What are some examples? Some people want to lose weight. Some people give up smoking. Does anybody have any others? What else? What New Year's resolutions did you make? Exercise more. A lot of things. Business goals as well. I'm sure many have academic goals. In our world today, the great desire is for more power. This is another inspired from the inspired pen. The great desire in our world today is for more power. I want more love in my heart. I want more grace in my life. I want a deeper, more earnest living experience with Jesus Christ every day. I want Christ to increase in my life. To exclaim with Paul this year in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucifixion of self. It must be our earnest desire to be more like Christ every day. That is my goal for this year. That his life would be the object of my adoration, of our adoration. Paul tells us that by beholding we become changed, that he would increase in my life. Must be so surrendered to Christ that our desires no longer exist, but his alone. To be so in tune with Christ in heart, mind, and thought, one with the Father as he prayed in John chapter 17. He said, my prayer is, he said, that they would all be one as we are one. Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and us in them. When the very life of God is formed in you, the very Spirit of Christ, will he not shape your life, your character? Another beautiful quote from Desire of Ages says, the life of Christ in you produces the same fruit as in him. Living in Christ, adhering to Christ, supported by Christ, you will bear fruit after the similitude of Christ. We read that our character is the only thing we will take with us to heaven. We also read that in order to be a saint in heaven, we must first become a saint on the earth. Not one of us will receive the seal of God while there is one spot or blemish left on our characters. That's why he must increase in our lives this year, brethren. And we must decrease. When Christ is formed in you, it says, we will bear fruit after the similitude of Christ. Our character will be that of Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But it is focusing upon Christ. Very quickly, we'll read another quote from the inspired pen. Every act of life, however unimportant, has its influence in forming the character. A good character is more precious than worldly possessions, and the work of forming it is the noblest in which men can engage. Christ has given us no assurance that to attain perfection of character is an easy matter. A noble all-around character is not inherited. It does not come to us by accident. A noble character is earned by individual effort through the merits and grace of Christ. God gives the talents, the powers of the mind. We form the character. It is formed by hard, stern battles with self. Conflict after conflict must be waged against hereditary tendencies. We shall have to criticize ourselves closely and not allow not one unfavorable trait to remain uncorrected. It is by focusing upon perfection that we see the defects of our own character. It is Christ who gives us the power to overcome. It is written in Micah chapter 7, verse 19, that He subdueth our iniquities. It is Christ within us. We don't have the ability or the power to overcome one sin or temptation on our own. We also read steps to Christ. So you are not to look to yourself, not to let the mind dwell upon self, but to look to Christ. Let the mind dwell upon His love, upon the beauty, the perfection of His character. Christ in His self-denial, Christ in His humiliation, Christ in His purity and holiness, Christ in His matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. It is by loving Him, copying Him, depending wholly upon Him, that you are to be transformed into His likeness. Let your last thought at night, your first thought in the morning, should be of Him whom is centered your hope of eternal life. The mind must dwell upon Christ. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We can flip there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. A verse we know well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In our world today, there are so many things that occupy our attentions and our mind. We have television, we have sports, we have everything. But there are so many things. So the sin is so rampant in our country anymore. Sometimes it's almost like you become callous to it. We read that it is only Christ can impart within the heart enmity against sin. All of these things that we take into our minds through the television, through whatever it is that we are focusing on other than Christ, only lead to our, how should I say? It corrupts the mind. But we're exhorted to focus upon Christ. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In forming the character, this is essential. It is only by focusing upon Christ that the character can be formed. We read again. That the character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings. And never before Was its diligent study so important as now? A noble character is the result of self-discipline, of the subjection of the lower to the higher nature, the surrender of self for the service of love to God and man. And here's the key, brethren. Prayer. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin and the development of Christian character. The divine influence that comes in answer to the prayer of the faith will accomplish in the soul of the suppliant all for which he pleads, for the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Christ-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do his work, for any gift he has promised we may ask, and the promise is given, ye shall receive. In his life and character, he not only reveals the character of God, but the possibility of man. He was the representative of God and the exemplar of humanity. He presented to the world what humanity might become when united by faith with divinity. He must increase. He is the example of what we could. When we think about the life of Christ, the perfection of his character, and we receive the very life of Christ within us, and we are surrendered to Christ, we bear fruit after the similitude of Christ. Our character is that of Christ. His love is matchless love. We think about, Oswald Chambers once said, the Sermon on the Mount is not some unattainable goal that Christ has set before us. But this is what happens to you when the life of Christ is formed in you. Jesus prayed, as I mentioned before, that we would be one with the Father, just as he is one. One in heart, one in mind, one in understanding. That we are so in tune with Christ that his will is our will. Oswald Chambers once said that the life of a child of God, the child of God is not aware of the will of God because he is the will of God. He doesn't think about what he's doing, he's just walking. And it is Christ who is directing his steps. His will is our will. Time is so short, brethren. As I think about the signs of the times around us, I just heard yesterday that there was an earthquake in Indiana. Since when have we ever had earthquakes in Indiana? Tornadoes. The signs of the times are there. This year, this fall, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Time is so short. It is now that we must keep ourselves and our children unspotted from the world. It is now that we must wash our robes of character white in the blood of the Lamb. It is now that we must overcome pride, passion, and spiritual slothfulness. It is now, brethren, that we must awake and make a determined effort for symmetry of character. While it is called today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Christ must be our goal. My goal is God himself, Oswald Chambers once said. A Christ-like character. Here's why. As we see the time rapidly passing us by, time is going so fast. I just want to look at one more thing. In Matthew chapter 22, we were just reading this yesterday. Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 through 13. Matthew 22:13. And it reads, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I was reminded when we read this verse yesterday, I was reminded of Christ, the true and faithful witness to the Laodicean church. You remember what he says there. He counsels us to buy three things from him. The true gold, the gold tried in the fire, the white raiment, and the eye salve, right. This man had not on a wedding garment. In the testimonies we read that the white raiment, which is symbolized in Revelation chapter 3:18, is a spotless character made pure in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of their dear Redeemer. Now is the time, brethren. He must increase this year. In this Sabbath day, a day of reflection, a day to focus upon our Lord and Savior, let us reflect upon our lives and ask the Lord to search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us, that we might confess and repent and be changed. Let us look to Christ in this day, and let's make a decision, a determined effort for symmetry of character. Let us ask the Lord to wash our garments white in the blood of the Lamb. As I think about that parable, I think of other scriptures as well in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Brethren, it is now that we have to wash our robes white. A character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. Those who are under the instruction of Christ in this world will take every divine attainment with them to heavenly mansions. And in heaven, we are continually to improve. The last text I'll read is found in Philippians chapter 3. You can go there if you want. I'm just going to read it quickly. Paul is telling us here, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." He must increase this year. The forming of the character is a lifelong process, each day. But this year, let's make a determined effort every day that Christ would be the focus of our lives. He should be our last thought at night and our first thought in the morning. By beholding his life, the perfection of his character, we too will become changed. As I think about how he presented to the world what humanity might become when united by faith with divinity, you imagine, Can you imagine if we were all... Can you imagine a place when all of God's children are so perfectly conformed? He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Imagine if the love of Christ was formed in us. He said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you." So finally, brethren, let us look to Christ this year. Let us wash our garments white in the blood of the Lamb. Let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many, be perfect, be thus minded. And in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. By God's grace, because that is by His grace and grace alone that we are conformed to the image of Christ, that we have the ability to repent, that we have the ability to come to Him at all. By His grace this year, my hope is for all of us is to be so surrendered to Christ that the world, we would be lights to the world, that we would reflect the love of Christ, the light of Christ. But it comes with a daily struggle. It says the battle against self is the greatest struggle that is ever fought. By daily prayer, daily reading of the Word, daily beholding Christ, we are to be conformed in His image. So my hope, my prayer for this year is that He would increase and that I would decrease, that we would decrease, that we would more fully reflect His image. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.